I want to welcome our very first presenter from Toledo Gospel Tabernacle, Toledo Gospel Rescue Mission. I was talking about the old name of our church.
Yep.
Kelly Yannis, would you please welcome her?
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to take a minute and say thank you for letting me come today. Toledo Gospel Rescue Mission's been in Toledo for we're in our 67th year of ministry. We have a men's shelter that helps folks night to night with emergency shelter and services. We have a single mother shelter that we recently expanded. We have 21 moms that we can serve at one time with up to 3 children at a time in that shelter. We have a clothing ministry called the Mission Mall, where folks from the community donate used clothing and household items, and we give it back to the people in need. And we also have an outreach center, which houses one of the largest Narcotics Anonymous groups in the city of Toledo. My name is Kelly Yannis. I'm the new executive director of Toledo Gospel Rescue Mission. I took over last year. I'm Tom Clapsaddle's daughter, and so we've continued in that legacy for our family. I say all of that to say this. I could hit you with a bunch of statistics. I could hit you with a bunch. How we've served over 90,000 meals. How we've had a 126% increase in single mothers seeking shelter, and we've helped them. I could hit you with the fact that we've had 15 moms from the new facility alone of Rebecca's Haven graduate and go on to housing, right? I could hit you with the fact that Narcotics Anonymous has double what they had last year being served through our outreach center. I could hit you with all of that. Numbers are great. But you know what the numbers that are the most important to me are? John 10:10 says, Jesus said that he came to give us life and life more abundant. And that life more abundant meant that we had a restored relationship and renewed purpose in him. So the statistics that mean the most to me are the hundreds of hands raised in our men's, women, and children's chapel seeking his guidance and his help. Those are the numbers that are most important to me. The numbers that are most important to me are the hundreds of hands that have been raised in our chapels and rededicating their lives to Christ and seeking Christ as their Savior. To me, that's what's more important, because poverty isn't always about money. Money's important. Money's very important. It's a tool, but it's not just about money. Poverty is about broken relationship. Poverty begins when we traded, as the human race, the love of God for the love of the eye. We sought something other than Christ. We sought something other than relationship with the Lord as more important. And what has happened in our society is we've walked away from God. We've walked away from God. And so when I start seeing people turn back to God, that's why I'm here, because I want them to come and have life and life more abundantly. And so I'm just thankful for a community like First Alliance that actually sends people out to help, that supports us financially, that donates to us regularly, that prays for us daily, because that's what we need. We're workers in the field. And as we begin to see people come in and see them restore their lives to Christ, then it builds into community. And we've had folks from our mission come right here to this church and get plugged in, because there's a community here that says, we want to be there for you. We want to walk with you through this. And as they restore to community and as they restore their lives to Christ, they build and they are able to become self-supporting. And that change is everlasting. It's not just temporary, it's forever. And so I just wanted to stop for a moment today and just say thank you. Thank you for supporting local missions. Thank you for helping those in your community and loving your neighbor as yourself. It makes a major impact. It changes generations. Generations. As a little child learns about Jesus Christ every single day in children's chapel, you're changing a generation. You're not just ending generational poverty, you're ending generational spiritual poverty. That's what's most important, Because as we grow generation to generation, we're passing on a legacy like my family did to me. I grew up on a church bus. That didn't mean I always did what I was told. That doesn't mean that I didn't make mistakes, but I had a legacy. I had people who fed into me. And as you take the charge and come out and you serve and you help and you volunteer and you donate and you give, you're participating in that legacy. We can make Toledo holy. We can help God come in and usher in the Holy Spirit to this city, but it takes commitment. And I just want to thank this church for being part of that commitment. Thank you for having me today.
At this time, I'm really excited to welcome one of my very good friends, a man who is very familiar to all of you, Mr. Jason Horton. Would you welcome Jason?
Am I live here? All right. Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for having True North Ministries back for another year of Home Mission Sunday. This is one of my favorite Sundays of the year, and it's such a pleasure to be here. I've brought my friend Ryan Hirschberger with me. Now, Ryan was one of the founding members of True North Ministries, almost 9 years ago. And one of the first times that we had an opportunity to share a stage was at Ember Toledo when they were meeting at North Point Church. And we were just a couple of goofball teenagers back then. And I remember you reading from Ezekiel chapter 2 saying, "The people to whom I'm sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them." So in the time that you've been working in North Toledo, how do you feel people have received the gospel as you've shared it?
So honestly, people are really receptive. You know, a lot of people would probably think in a community where there's a lot of gun violence, gangs, drugs, crime, that people would be opposing the gospel and that kind of life. But honestly, it's attractive to them. It's something different. They don't always go that way, but they respect it and they know that God is among them when the church shows up.
Yeah, come on. So you and your sister Ashley founded Mission 5812, which has kind of put some organizational structure around the work that you've been doing at True North Ministries. What kind of things has Mission 5812 been doing in the last year to bring the gospel to North Toledo?
So it's amazing how God did it, because the timing is only the hand of God. It was right before COVID. It was right when things really started to hit the fan, and God launched this ministry through me and the church I'm a part of. And we do monthly events in the neighborhood. We just have so much fun with the kids. We take them out of the neighborhood. We go do stuff with them. We took them to a summer camp just on an island. Like, kids don't do that stuff in these neighborhoods. We're able to help with bills, financial needs, whatever we can do to be the light, we try to do. And, you know, God just keeps providing the money to do that.
Yeah, come on. Well, I've been meeting with families who have suffered from gun violence and even have lost family members to gun violence in our neighborhood, and it just has awakened me to realize how relative the gospel is and how relevant the gospel is to our community and how hungry people are for the message of the good news that's held out in the gospel. And Ryan, you've been walking with a family who lost their grandmother to cancer, and she was really a matriarch and a leader in our community. And I wanted to ask, how can First Alliance be praying for Lynn's family as they go through that grieving process?
So me and the ministry I'm a part of, we're connected with a lot of people in the neighborhood, but this family specifically, God has just given us favor and just like this relationship with, where these kids look up to us. We take them to church. Like, we're in relationship with this family. And the grandma was like the foundation of godliness. So that's removed now. So it's just chaos. They need stability, income, housing. Like, it's a struggle all around. So you can just pray for their health, their finances, their livelihood, basically, you know?
Yeah, come on. These are amazing kids that we love working with in North Toledo. And I was kind of looking back over the years of what has been the primary theme of asking for prayer, because prayer is the primary work of God's people, and we believe that God hears us and he answers us. And the prayer requests have been for wisdom, they have been for protection, and they have been for provision. And I say protection because in 2021, last year, there were 11 homicides in our neighborhood, three of which were children. And there was an incident in which just a toddler was shot in her mother's arms. And fortunately, that child survived. But that is unacceptable in my community. And what we've done as a response is we've started a weekly prayer meeting. It's an intercessory prayer meeting led in our community, for our community, and broadly by our community. And I've met with police officials, I've met with city leaders, and there's only so much that they can do. They can't do anything to change the heart of people to believe that this kind of violence and murder is sin and that it should not be done. But God changes the hearts of people. I mean, I look at my own life. He's changed my heart. So I know he can change the heart of my neighbors. So we're praying, and this is a formal invitation to you. Every Sunday, 3 p.m., come this Sunday, we are standing at the corner of Maple and Stryker Street, 3202 Maple Street, to pray for our neighbors, 3 p.m. It's going to be cold. I bought a Costco box of hand warmers, okay? Bring your coats. It's a short prayer meeting. We're usually 15 to 20 minutes, and then we're out of there. But we're standing in the gap. And actually, since we started praying every week, there has not been one homicide in North Toledo since we began this prayer meeting. And that's glory to God, because we can't do that. I can't affect that change. That is God's hand at work in our community. That's what he's doing. And so continue to pray. Historically, February and June have been the worst months for homicides in North Toledo. We're halfway through February. No one's dead. You know, so it's like, let's go. You know, we're praying because we can't reach people on the other side of the grave. This is the time that we have. And so pray also that God would give us interactions with people who would commit these crimes. As we're working to find out who's most at risk and who's in these tense situations, give us wisdom for engaging those conversations and for moving forward in those relationships, because God came to seek and save that which was lost. And these are the people that he loves. So that is one way that you can join us. Ryan, how can people find out more about Mission 5812? How can they keep up with what you're doing?
Yeah, so on Facebook, if you go to Mission 5812 Initiative, it's a page we have on Facebook. It'll show everything we've done the past 2 years, pictures, all kinds of the events we've done, and our whole mission statement. It's actually from Isaiah 5812. That's why we call it Mission 5812. And if you look on Facebook, Mission 5812 Initiative, there will be a link on there. It's to another website, and that's how people can donate or volunteer for the events.
Yeah, man, I'm so thankful for the work that you and your team are doing, you, your sister, and your home church. This is remarkable stuff, and just getting to see the hand of God at work in our communities. Last week when I spoke, I asked, what do you want to be doing on the day that Christ returns? And church, this is it. This is what I want to be doing, finding those who God loves. So thank you for your giving and for making that possible for those of us who are working in North Toledo. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
About 5 years ago, I went with Sue Trumbull to Rosa Parks Elementary School, and I had a chance to meet with the principal and with a number of their team. And it was an incredible experience just to sit down and listen and ask, what do you guys need? How can we serve you? And I'm going to invite Angela up to come on up and share a little bit about what's been going on at Rosa Parks. You've heard some stories already about Rosa Parks as we've had teams go over and pray and work with students. I've had the privilege of doing that as well. And it's just been a real delight and a joy. So come on up, Angela. I want you to hear from the principal of Rosa Parks just what is happening there and how your prayers, your volunteerism, your involvement make a huge, huge difference. So let's give it up for Angela, will you please? So good to see you.
Thank you, you as well. Good morning. There's so much to share, but let me just say this. At the Rosa Parks Elementary School, our mission is to produce future leaders by instilling a strong foundation of academic excellence and life skills that move our community forward. So with that being said, and Dr. Durant would be, it's really humble with the partnership that we've created, because this is an example of building stronger relationships. Our rapport and relationship with First Alliance Church has been remarkable. So we have wonderful Wednesdays, and that is because we are provided with treats, messages, sometimes scriptures, but we look forward to wonderful Wednesdays. So prior to getting our day started, they pray in the building, right? And this year, I can bring back a testimony because we have virtual teachers in the building, and they're just getting accustomed to what we do. And she broke down in tears when she saw Aunt Miss Bobby, Miss Sue praying. And she said, oh my goodness, I can't believe you have that here. Listen, within the realm of COVID, things are just different. So just imagine our students have been unstructured, and now we're providing the walls. So it has been a lot of prayers, we can tell, going on. Please continue to pray for our students, their mental capacity, their behaviors, as well as our staff members. So there's been a huge push for self-care. So I have to tell our staff, yes, take care of yourself, but let's make sure we're taking care of our students as well. But it is very, very serious in the world of education, because it's not Walmart. These are lives we have to save and dreams to salvage. So that's really where we are at Rosa Parks. We want to thank you for the pantry. This Wednesday, I actually went to the pantry of school supplies, right? I can talk about it. This is what you do for us. But until you are immersed in that, you don't know. And it was, oh my goodness, I don't think all my staff know. So I am the head cheerleader of the Rosa Parks Elementary School. So I'm going to be advocating that they utilize the supports that have been provided. In addition to that, I did my first conference about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I was communicating about the partnerships and that we have. And they said, you have a partnership with the church? Yes. So I was very Rosa proud to share our connection and help others all over the world with building and connecting, even, yes, with churches. Last but not least, Miss Pat. Where's Miss Pat? So, okay. Wherever Miss Pat is, we had a substitute in the class she serves in. She comes in on Wednesdays and helps out for 2 hours. I don't care if it is 20 minutes. She is really a blessing. And the sub said, well, my para is really helping me. I said, who's your para? And then Miss Pat came out. But it's just a testament of how strong our relationships are and how we connect with our visitors, our supports. So I thank you for everything you do. I can't believe it's only been 5 years. Wow, but it seems like a lifetime. We appreciate you. And we welcome any and everything you do for Rosa Parks Elementary School. Oh, and I'm sorry, I do want to say one. You mentioned we hadn't had a homicide this year. Unfortunately, the first homicide was one of the grandparents of one of our students last week. And we were impacted by that, because that was a parent that we could call, and it didn't matter. He had our back to support his grandson. So it was really devastating. It was the first one of the year. And, you know, we just wrapped our arms around that student, and we said, hey, now you have to live your life as a model student, even for your grandfather. So I wanted to share that, but continue to pray for our students. And thank you for everything you do.
Good morning. Wow, it's so good to be here. Isn't God amazing? All the things we've already heard today. Dev, that song, just what a beautiful reminder of how precious Jesus is to our souls, and the scripture too, how exalted he should be. You know, one of the things God keeps reminding me of that I forget, and I suspect maybe you might forget too, is, you know, we're promised by God that when we surrender our lives to Christ, and that one of the things we get from that is that his spirit comes and lives within us. And we forget that it's just there all the time, and we become unaware of it. But one of the things I've noticed when I get the privilege of praying with someone who doesn't have that is that I get to bring the presence of Christ into that person's atmosphere. What a privilege. What a privilege. I want to just tell you one story that happened and is still happening, another one that's being written today. And just thank you, for being the church that you are, in all the things that you do and all the things that you're supporting, as well as supporting Water for Ishmael. You know, when you pray, God moves. When you give, God moves. And when you act, God moves. I want to tell you about a student that came to us from Sudan a few years ago, just an absolutely lovely woman, and brought her kids with her, and they enrolled in our morning program. So she was studying English, and the kids were learning, and it was just wonderful. And she just kind of got to a place in her English where she felt like, I don't need to study English anymore. I want to get a job. So we have this workforce development program where she could be trained to work in a child care center. So she was going through that program this fall. And near the end of the time, I think it was October, November maybe, she comes to me and she's got this letter in her hand. And she goes, do you know of any rental houses in Sylvania? And I'm like, dude, do you know what the housing market's like right now? Like, I don't think so. She hands me the letter. It's from her landlord. It's an eviction notice. He decided he wants to sell the house that her family with four kids is living with in. And it's like middle of school year, kids changing schools. What am I going to do? Where do I find a place with a yard for my kids to play? She's in tears. I don't have any answers. But I looked at her and I said, I don't know, but what I do know is that God sees you. Would you let me pray with you and just ask God to come into this situation? She said yes. So we cried out to God right there in the middle of the preschool room. Church, would you believe? 3 hours, God had a home for her family. She finished the workforce development program, and she's so awesome, we hired her. And then she got her citizenship. Last Saturday, we were all at a party at 20 Arco Drive. That's where Water for Ishmael is. She wanted to throw a party with her Sudanese friends and her Water for Ishmael friends to celebrate the goodness of God in her life. Now, ain't that a thing? That's what happens when we walk in obedience to God. Now, I just got one more thing I got to say to you, and I'm so stinking proud of you guys, I'm about ready to burst. I've heard through the grapevine, and maybe y'all haven't heard yet, but sometimes we hear things before you do. Your church has signed up to sponsor an Afghan family to be resettled in Toledo. Woo! y'all are about ready to embark on the adventure of a lifetime. It will be the best and worst thing you've ever done. It will be the most joyful and most hard thing you've ever done. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you. Thank you. Afghanistan is right now the most dangerous place in the world, and it has surpassed North Korea in its persecution of Christians. It's literally probably the worst place in the world that you could live right now. And God, I pray you'll get a family, and you will have the privilege of loving a family that's coming from a really hard place. Thank you. Thank you for offering to do that. I'm so excited to introduce to you my brother, Chris. Pastor Chris has his own church that meets at our building, but he is also on staff with us, and he is a man of God, and he is going to give you the word.
You okay?
I love you.
God bless you. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for all you guys being here. And yeah, just pull it. Thank you. All right. And I want to thank Pastor Kirk and the staff that is doing this and allowing me to be part of it. I'd like to thank my co-workers, Janelle and all that gave me this assignment. And she has me crying already, just listening at that. Like she said, I'm on staff. I'm the maintenance guy. Pastor of New Beginnings Worship Center, we're there in the building. Came on staff last year. And being on staff, y'all, I'm teary. But I get to be involved. In what they're doing. I know I'm on a time limit, so y'all help me stop crying. One of the things that we do mostly there is pray. Every morning we pray. Once a month, there's a prayer meeting. That I've come to term briefing sessions, because I learned things that I didn't know about what God is doing internationally, what God is doing worldwide. My thinking has changed. This last prayer meeting / briefing session that I was in, I learned some terms that I didn't even know. You know, we kind of all know what people groups are, but I had never heard of UPGs and UUPGs, okay? And a UPG is an unreached people group. A UUPG is unengaged, unreached people groups. And there are people that are keeping up with this stuff of what God is doing. There is a number of UUPGs that have to be reached before the entire world has received the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people are looking for that to happen, because once that number is reached, Jesus can come back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. And so we thank God, and I thank God for being a part of what God is doing and how God is moving. And I learned in one course that I was in a while back that if you want to be in the will of God, find out where God is working and just join him in the work. And I've been able to do that at Water for Ishmael. I get to see the people. I get to engage with the people. Some of the people come in and fellowship with us in the church. Sister Margarita is here right now with us from Peru. It's just a beautiful thing. It's just a beautiful thing. I got some the scripture that was read. I just got a few things that I want to say, and I'm sorry, wife, I didn't put the timer on. So I'm like, you got to keep me up, okay, because I don't know where I'm at right now. But in Philippians chapter number 2, looking at that, Philippians 2, looking at the third verse where it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Our God is a missional God, and that's why we are a missional people, okay? And just listen at this. Let's see if I can get through this all right. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others better than yourselves. All right? Let's look at that again. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain deceit. That's fleshly mindedness, right? It says, but rather in humility value others better than yourself. Spiritual mindset. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a fleshly mindset versus a spiritual mindset. It goes on. It says, not looking to your own interests. Fleshly mindset. But each of you to the interest of others. That's a spiritual mindset. For me to look to your interest versus my own, that's spiritual mindedness versus me being carnally minded or me being about me. And then he goes on to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But, and then I like the way the King James break this up, so I'm going to do King James from here on. It says, but, number one, he made himself of no reputation. And then number two, took upon him the form of a servant. And then number three, was made in the likeness of men. If you look at that, number one and number two was done even before he got into Mary's womb, okay? Number one, made himself of no reputation and then took upon him the form of a servant. If the president was going to, for a week, for whatever reason, become a garbage man, he couldn't do that as president. He must first relinquish the fact that I am the president. And that's what Christ did for us. It says, first of all, he made himself of no reputation so that he could be found in form of a servant, okay, to be able to take orders. And then it says, and then he was made in the likeness of men, all right? Then it goes on, and being found in fashion as a man, he did what? Number four, he humbled himself. If I'm God, and I'm coming down to help man, and I do all of those things, when I get down here, I'm at least Superman. You know, I'm at least, you know, but it says that he did what? He humbled himself. After becoming a man, he humbled. He was the chief servant among men. All right? Humbled himself and became obedient unto death. That's step number five, even the death of the cross. Now, the reason I like that is because that's five steps down. Five is the number of grace. That's grace coming down to us to save us out of a hell that we were in. Hallelujah. All right. All right. You got me, wife, right? I don't know where I'm at, but listen. So here's what we're looking at. First of all, he told us what to do. You know, don't think like this, fleshly minded. Think spiritually minded. Then he tells us what Christ did, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself, you know, all of those things. But here's the thing. He also lets us know how we can do it, how we can do it. And it's right here in verse number 5 where it says, let this mind be in you. The Greek word there is phroneo. Phroneo is a verb. That is an action. Let this mind. What he is really saying is set your mind like this. Oh, glory to God. You find that phrase where it says set your affection on things above. Now, it's something that we are to do. Set, position your mind to be like this. Now, I'm very frugal. Some people say stingy. I don't go there. I'm frugal. All right? To get your local channels, you know, there's this DirecTV, or you can go, broadband cable. There's a way that you can get your local channels nowadays, you know, now that we're not doing regular antenna stuff. And it costs. I checked out DirecTV, and I can get channel 13 and 24 and 36. It costs me about $60 a month just to watch the local news. However, I have an old-fashioned antenna that I have to put it in my bedroom because that's where it picks up the signal. Mm-hmm. I'll glory to God. And I get 13 and I get 36, just like everybody else that is paying $60 or so to get it. But when it's time to watch 36, I have to go in the bedroom and position my antenna. When my wife, who loves 13 news, I have to go back in the bedroom and position that antenna. I am setting my antenna to pick up the signal that is coming into my house at all times. If the antenna is not set, I won't get it. What God is letting us know is that, listen, you have been equipped. The Spirit of God abides on inside of every one of us. But we have to set our minds. Oh, glory to God. We have to set our minds to pick up the signal that is coming from the Spirit of God. If you're going to be somebody that can serve like God wants us to serve, if we're going to be missional-minded people like our God was when he came down, we've got to learn how to set our minds. Hallelujah, that we might receive what the Spirit is saying on the inside of us. Fleshly mind versus the mind of the Spirit. It's about how you and I are thinking. Amen? Yeah. Amen. All right, listen. We have been given the commission. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. It's happening. It's happening. Next time I'm here, I'll let you know what I hear in the next meeting that we have. Amen? Because it's going to be a briefing meeting, and I'll be able to tell you exactly what God is doing around the world. Thank God. Thank God for you guys. You're such a lovely group of people. I did not feel like a stranger when I came through the doors. I love you, and I know that you love me because you've already shown it to me. Amen? All right.